the Lord was already doing a stirring in my heart, so it worked out great. But before I get into the message, who all likes IKEA? I mean, that store confuses me. You know, then to buy furniture and build it, you know, you're trying to look at the instructions. And so the Lord's like, great, there's three people. There's three types of people when it comes to instructions. You got the people that will follow the instruction piece by piece. You got people that will take the instructions, quickly glance over it, and then throw it away. And then you got some people that don't even look at the instructions, like, man, I'm a man, I can do this. I know how to put a bookshelf together, right? So the Lord is saying, great, there's three types of people. So the title of my message, again, is The Jesus Way. So I feel that Jesus gave us instructions and wants us to listen to those instructions. So when we got saved, those instructions were taught to us. They were ministered to us. But I feel the Holy Spirit downloaded in my heart the message for me. I believe it's for myself, but also for the church. So there's 4 points to the message, you know, about the Jesus way. So the first instruction I feel that Jesus said is to pray. And if you're okay, I like to just go just off the words of Jesus. I know throughout the whole Bible, there's scriptures all over talking about prayer. But I want to take everything from the word of Christ today. So if we go to Matthew 6, 9 through 13, you know, we see Jesus giving the instruction, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we see that's one of the instructions the Lord gave us, right on prayer. But then, you know, we've been taught that, but then I just felt like that's all. So what does that prayer break down to? So I was researching, and I feel if we take that prayer down and break it down a little bit more appropriately, you know, Jesus wants us to, one, address God appropriately as Father, as Papa, as, you know, Dad, however we want to address our Heavenly Father in our own language to Him. Second, we see that we are to praise God for who He is and what He's done. Then we need to acknowledge that God is in control. We're not. Your will be done on earth. Then we need to ask God for what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's us going to God asking for what we need. Confess that we have sinned and repent with a humble heart. So it says, confess your sins. So I think a lot of times we bypass the actual sin, like, oh, Lord, forgive me for I've sinned. But I said, confess your sin. Lord, forgive me. My eyes wandered. Forgive me. I talked bad about this person. So it's to confess our sins, not just to say, I sinned, I messed up, but to truly confess to the Heavenly Father. And then through that, you know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So Jesus is saying that we need to request God's protection and support in overcoming the evil one attack. Guys, the church is under attack today. Not just TGP, but the church of God is under attack today. And I think it's because we have not prayed this prayer enough. Just like on Father's Day, Brother John mentioned this prayer. And it's like, we need to pray this. Pray it often. But when we pray it, not just skim over it, but truly pray through these instructions. Father God, you are in control. You are the Father of this earth. We need you. I messed up. Forgive me, and protect me. The enemy is attacking the church today. So that's the first instruction we see Jesus saying as far as to pray. But we see it further, Matthew 6, 5 through 6. And it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into the room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and pray, and your Father will, who sees you in secret, will reward you. So we see the Lord saying right here, you know, it's not to be like the hypocrites who, I'm just going to pray just to pray. I'm going to get up in the straight corner just to, so people see me. No, I don't want to be seen. When I get up here, I always pray throughout the week, Lord, let them hear you, let them see you, not Greg. Because Greg will mess up every time he gets up here. Greg will speak out of the flesh, and I want the Lord to speak through me. So we see that. Pray without a desire to be seen. It's hard sometimes. You know, we can get up there and it's like, no, but Lord, I know you spoke to me and you have a word. I want to make sure I'm heard. I'll make sure I'm seen. But the Lord is saying, no, don't. Then we see Luke 6, 12 through 13. Says, in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. So we see Jesus leading by example. You know, before he selected the 12 disciples, he prayed before making important decisions. Lord, you gave me the great abundance of people, but I need my 12. So he went out all night in secret and prayed. He didn't sit, stand in front of the everyone and pray out loud so they can hear. He went away and prayed. So he prayed before making important decisions. And then Matthew 6, 7. Matthew 6, 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So here, again, tying right back into the Lord's Prayer, you know, a lot of times I feel we can get in front and we can pray and we are, you know, repetitious. You know, we're praying. But the Lord is saying right here, don't heap up empty praises, because the Lord already knows. So I think, you know, I was talking to a friend yesterday. I think that's when the Lord wants us to shut our mouth and pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, pray in our heavenly language, because the Lord knows what we want. But the Lord is saying, it's time to pray in the Spirit. Let him intercede on your behalf. So I say, choose the Jesus way and pray. The second point I want to make is, I feel the Lord gave me this instruction that we see it time and time over from Jesus, and that is to love. So the second instruction I feel the Lord gave me from is to love. So if we go to Mark 12:31, again, I know there's a lot of scripture, but I want to pull everything from Jesus. You know, if we're going to try to do things his way, we need to hear from him. So the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the first commandment the Lord gave was love your God. And but I want to focus on that we need to love others. So this God, Jesus is saying that's the second greatest commandment, to love others. Love your neighbors. Man, and that one's hard sometimes, to love your neighbor. If I can be open and kind of share a little bit about my past, probably been about 18 years ago, I was fighting for custody for the twins, and my own father got on that stand and testified against me, saying that, and Kayla and Bailey were just babies, saying that I was holding them improperly or whatever. But again, the enemy tried to use him to get me to stop fighting for my kids. And so to forgive my father, who I'm his flesh and blood, who went up on the stand and testified against me, and because of that, because of him testifying, I had to go through supervised visitation. But you know what? Jesus is in control. Because, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they're with me every day. So what the enemy means for good, bad, Jesus will take it and turn it around. And a little bit of good news, I didn't even share it with Chris. I mean, didn't let Christine know, but in just a short couple of weeks, Christine will be adopting Caleb and Bailey and stuff. So what the enemy tries to turn for evil, Jesus can turn good. And I think that shift started because I forgave my father. It was maybe 4 or 5 years later when we actually had him. Christy and I, we reached out to him, like, hey, come over for Christmas. We want to talk to you. You know, we want to share Christmas with you. Because the Lord was already dealing in my heart, I need to forgive my father. So, yeah, my stepmom and my brother came over, and we did Christmas. Nothing was really discussed. They get in the car, and they pull away. I'm like, Lord, I missed it. Then they turn back around. It's like, hey, your brother forgot something. They grabbed it, stepped back out in the car, like, Lord, I missed it again. And I think it was the third time, finally, my dad got out, and soft teddy bear he is. You know, and then at that point, I was able to say, hey, I forgive you. And from there, that's when we've seen the shift from bitterness, from being angry, from even a sense of hatred, turn into forgiveness and reconcile that love. So Jesus, fill of the instruction is love. Again, it's so important because he says it's the second greatest commandment. So if we go to John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I has loved you. You also are to love one another. We see this minister, Rick, ministered on this about a month ago when Jesus was washing disciples' feet. After he washed the disciples' feet, this is the commandment he gave his disciples, to love one another. I mean, just to humble himself, knowing that he was going to be betrayed by one of his disciples, to still get down, wash his feet, and still chose to love them. How often do we know that someone's going to talk bad about us, someone's going to talk bad about one of our families, but we still have to choose to love? Let's go to John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So when I pulled this instruction up from Jesus' commandment, I felt the Lord saying, Greg, the church is loving in their own way, but I feel that the church today is not willing to lay down their life for one another. The church will, you know, We say we love them, we say this and that, but when it comes time to truly laying down our life for them, I feel sometimes we back away. I'll love you from a distance. You know, what you're going through is tough. I don't want to be part of that. But the Lord is saying, love. You know, lay down your life for your friends. Lay down your life for your family. And then another tough one, Luke 6:35. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Guys, is it hard to love your enemies? I mean, hard? I mean, it was hard to love my father at that point. You know, he wasn't my enemy. It was hard. It was hard to love when we got saved, friends walked away from me. It was hard to love them in that moment. It's like, we've been hanging out since high school, and I thought we were tight, and then I get saved, and you just disappear on me? Come on. Or when we go through a situation, they just completely walk away from us. You know, fighting for Caleb and Bailey, people walked away from us, family, friends. Because it was a battle they didn't want nothing to do with. So they became enemies. But we have to love them. So I say to you, choose a Jesus way and love. So the third instruction I heard the Spirit say to me is to forgive. So we got pray, love, and now we must choose to forgive. So I saw this quote online. For Jesus, forgiveness is a paramount importance. It is the flip side of the love coin. So I got a coin right here. The flip side of the love coin. Love ranks first, so it's the top side. That's why we always see the heads. Love ranks first, it's the top side, heads. Jesus wants us to love one another as he has loved us. And he explained that the way that people will know that we are his disciples is by the love we have for one another. But our love is imperfect. The human love is imperfect. We damage our relationships with God, with one another. When we sin, the coin flips to tails. To remain in sin and in alienation is to be in a tailspin. Forgiveness is a way to turn the coin back to heads and return to love. So we got to forgive to even get back to love, people. So for me to forgive my father restored that relationship with him. But if I didn't forgive him, it would have never been there. So we see Jesus always leads by example. So if we go to Luke 23:34. Maybe I got that wrong. Luke 23. I'm sorry, 34. Luke 23:34. All right. So Luke 23:34 reads, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So Jesus is on the cross. He's being persecuted. He's been attacked. But he leads by example. Father, these guys just hung me on this cross. They just, threw three spikes into my hands and my feet. They whipped me. They picked my beard. They placed the thorns of crown upon my head. But forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And through that, I feel the Lord has told me that sometimes we, in our carnal mind, take things the wrong way. Someone says something, and we take it the wrong way, but that's where we have to forgive. Like, Father, forgive them. Maybe they didn't realize what they said. Maybe they didn't realize what they did, but forgive them. I mean, oftentimes, my kids will come up to me. They did something, they said something immediately. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. And as quick as I wanted, like, boy, come here. You got to forgive them and stuff. But, so again, everything we see, Jesus is leading by example. Jesus is, these words are coming from Jesus. So if we go to Luke 17:3-4. Luke 17:3-4. Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So when I read that, I'm like, rebuke him? I'm like, man, that don't sound good. Rebuke him. But what rebuke means is let them know what they did against you. It's just going to that brother, going to that sister, like, man, you did this to me. It kind of hurt. It hurt my feelings. It hurt my pride. It just hurt. But that person says, I did not mean by that. Forgive them. The church has got to quit holding on to unforgiveness. We hold on to it too much, and we wonder why the kingdom isn't advancing. We wonder why the church isn't healthy. We wonder why there are so many problems in our lives, because a lot of times we choose to not forgive. But again, forgiveness restores that love that brings back life. So Matthew 18:22, and Jesus said to them, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. So we're seeing right there, Peter asked, Jesus, how many times are we to forgive? Seven times? You said no, 70 times seven, which means there's no limit. If the brother or sister comes to you and asks for forgiveness, forgive them. Forgive them. I know it's hard. Forgiveness is tough, but I think that's why Jesus made it an example on the cross to forgive. So I say to you, choose the Jesus way and forgive. So we got pray, love, forgive. And the last instruction I feel the Lord gave me for this, which Jesus has several instructions, but for me, for this time in the church, I feel the Lord saying, share the good news. We got to share the good news. So if we go to Matthew 4:23, I might be wrong with our slides up there. Matthew 4:23, there we go. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Again, Jesus is doing this. So Jesus is leading by example. So Jesus is going to Galilee. He's the one sharing his testimony. He's the one healing. So if Jesus, knowing that people are going to betray him, and if Jesus can go and ask for and go and share the good news, why can't we? If Jesus is going among the people who he knows will betray him, why can't we go and share the good news? So if we go to Matthew 10:5-10. Matthew 10:5-10. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter to no town of the Samaritan, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. So Jesus didn't go to the saved. He didn't go and proclaim the gospel to other Christians. He commanded his disciples to go to the lost. Go to the lost, which is what street evangelism? It's going out to the public square. It's going out. So I think that's what Jesus is saying. We got to go out to where the lost is. We got to proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is near. The part of the good news is we got to heal the sick. We got to heal the sick, which is what we've been doing. We've been praying for Brother Rick, praying for Brother Justin, praying for others. We got to raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out demons. And the church is being under a spiritual attack. And if we're not going out praying, then what are we doing? We're not following the instruction of Jesus right here. He said, go. So Matthew 28:19-20. So before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus gave his followers a basic command for what to do next. These words served as a marching order for generations of Christians. And these words are, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we see Jesus saying, go make disciples. So part of making disciples is we got to do life with that brother or sister. We got to take that new convert. How many times do we see someone come up to this altar, give their life to Christ, and there's no follow-up? Someone comes up, gives their life to Jesus, saying, hey, brother, you're saved. Go on your way. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to follow up with you. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to raise you up and teach you. So I think that's what the Lord is saying. We got to take our young, the youth, newly converts, and train them and disciple them. Because if we're not discipling them, as soon as they walk back out that door, guess who's waiting for them? The enemy. He's like, hey, yeah, they don't care for you. You know, they haven't called you. It's been a week. You just gave your life and they haven't called you? Come here and look at your buddy, you know, the drug dealer. He's calling you. He wants you to come back to business for him. But so we got to make disciples. While we're making disciples, Jesus said, teach them. Teach them. So what's Minister Rich doing? He's teaching Kingdom on Wednesday nights. We got, you know, McKenna, the youth, teaching the youth. We got our children leaders. We're teaching them. We're following the commandment of Christ to teach them. And just know that Jesus is with us to the end. So I say to you, choose the Jesus way and share the good news. So the Jesus way, Greg, what is that? It's to pray. Pray for one another. Pray to our Heavenly Father in our secret place. Pray to Him in our heavenly language. Love one another. Love your brothers. Love your sisters, even when they offended you, even when they've done wrong. Love them. Love your enemies. Jesus did, hanging on the cross. He loved them. Forgive. We must forgive, because again, that forgiveness flips that coin back to love. And then share the good news. So I feel as I'm closing the message that some of us may have thrown out the instructions of Jesus. Some of us may have thrown out those instructions. Some of us may have just forgotten Jesus' instructions to pray, to love, to forgive, to share the good news. And I think there may be some of us that haven't even looked at the instructions, haven't even heard the instructions. So I want to encourage you to choose the Jesus way. To pray, to love, to forgive, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't let unforgiveness remain in your heart. We got to choose to forgive. Don't let hurt and hatred fluster in our hearts. Choose to love. Don't be afraid of what people may say. Choose to share the good news. Choose the Jesus way. He is the treasure. He is the answer. So at this time, I want to call up the altar team. I just feel the Lord is saying that, again, there's some of us that may have laid down one of those instructions. They're trying to piece their life back together on their own, but they left out one of the important instructions. Maybe they left out to love their enemies, and that's why life is not going the greatest. Maybe they're not sharing the good news, and they're wondering why their family's not getting saved because they're not sharing the good news. Maybe there's just unforgiveness in our heart. We got a brother or sister, a close friend that may have said something, may have did something, and we're not choosing to forgive them. But I'm saying, choose the Jesus way today. Choose to love. Choose to forgive. Choose to pray for those, and choose to share the good news. So if you want to come up and be prayed over, the altar team is here. We want to pray with you. We want to help you through that. Maybe it's putting that instruction back in line with the Holy Word. Maybe it's just, hey, I'm having a hard time to forgive this person. I'm having a hard time to love this person. Come, let us pray with you. Maybe it's just time to choose a Jesus way. Maybe we need to just pray with you for boldness to share the good news. Maybe you're just, I'm afraid to share the good news. Well, guess what? Jesus is with us. He said in His Word, I am with you to the end. Share the good news. So if you want boldness, we can pray with you for that. So again, as I close in prayer, if you want prayer, please come. Let us pray with you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way. And Lord Jesus, we choose your way. Father God, you are the treasure. You are the answer to all of our problems, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to choose to love, choose to forgive, choose to pray, and choose to share your good news, Father God. Because, Lord, we need to share the gospel. Father God, we need to disciple those. We need to go out to the lost sheep as your word commanded. So, Father God, just help us to love one another, even if we've been wronged. Help us to forgive them. Help us to turn that bitterness and hatred back to the head side where we turn back to love. So, Father God, turn hatred into love. Turn unforgiveness into being forgiven. Father God, turn our sports talk into sharing the good news. Father God, we just need you, Lord Jesus. We need the church to arise. We need the church to be bold, to speak, and proclaim your name, Jesus Christ. So, Father God, as we learn to pray your prayer, Lord Jesus, help us to address you as Heavenly Father, Abba Father, the great I am, because we need you, Lord Jesus. Father God, you know all of our needs, Father God, so help us to enter into our private space and enter into our heavenly language to pray for you, to pray for one another, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. So this altar is open. If you want prayer, please come up. Let us pray with you. We want to help you. We want to pray with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.